choir. What a blessing. Well, we get to hear two scriptures today. We've heard them. Pam read one, the temptation of Jesus, about 2,000 years ago. That took place as it's recorded in the Gospels. And about 1,000 years before that, we hear this story from Deuteronomy of a different kind of temptation. And I think that the temptation, well, did you listen? Did you listen to the Deuteronomy passage? There were two things kind of going on in there. The Israelites were about ready to cross into the promised land. And God said, you're going to get in there and you're going to prosper and your crops are going to do great. And it's a land flowing with milk and, do you remember? Honey. A land which is good news, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's good news for everyone except the lactose intolerant. God said you're going to have a lot of prosperity in there, and you're going to be tempted to forget. To forget who gave you the blessings. And so today we remember. I wanted to quote from the great theologian Alan Jackson, author of Way Down Yonder on the Chattahoochee and other fine inspirational works. One of his sweeter songs, Remember When. I'm not going to sing it so as not to ruin the great musical vibe that we had coming out of the choir, but I wanted to share it with you. Remember when we vowed the vows and walked the walk, gave our hearts, made the start. It was hard. We lived and learned life through curves. There was joy. There was hurt. Remember when? Remember when old ones died and new were born and life was changed, disassembled, rearranged. We came together, fell apart, and broke each other's hearts. Remember when? Remember when 30 seemed so old? Now looking back, it's just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been. Said we'd do it all again. Remember when? Remember when we said when we turned gray, when the children grow up and move away, we won't be sad, we'll be glad for all the life we've had. And we'll remember when. Isn't that a great song? I cry when I hear that song. Now, why on earth would I begin a Lenten sermon with an Alan Jackson song lyric, and that on the first Sunday of Lent, and that on a Sunday when it seems obvious that this scripture lesson was really, and maybe you got uncomfortable as you were listening to it, about tithing, right? No pastor wants to come. And you notice I waited like 8 months since I mentioned the word in my new pastoring here. You heard it. The Israelites were to give the first fruits. And so this would become a sermon on tithing and tithing being tenthing, giving 10% of the new crops in the Israelites' sake. But today's sermon is about God's generosity in our response. And in our scripture lesson today, we find ourselves way back in the New Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, the second telling of Israel's formation as God's chosen people. You heard the stories a long time ago, maybe in vacation Bible school or Sunday school class, of Israel's formation as God's chosen people. The stories where the Israelites and Jacob, Joseph went down into Egypt and they were there and they were prospering and God made them a great people in Egypt, but then Pharaoh's heart turned on them and they became slaves. And then God raised up Moses. Remember the story? Moses then went in on God's behalf and said, "Let my people go." And there were the plagues of the frogs and the boils and all that stuff. And then there was Passover, and God led them out into the wilderness. For how long were they in the wilderness, anybody remember? 40 years. It'd be as if in 1979, God led you out into the country with no civilization. And you've been wandering around ever since. That's a long time to be out there. Well, you remember those stories of 40 years of wandering and eating manna from heaven, raising children as families in a caravan of migrants in the wilderness. They're about to enter a land of abundance. They're staring right at the Jordan River and over into the promised land, into the promise of God. They're dreaming of this land flowing with milk and honey. And I wonder what we're dreaming of, God's promises. Maybe a dream job. Maybe the kind of life that Alan Jackson described in the song, you know, finding love or the sound of little feet or growing old together. Maybe you've dreamed that all the kids in the community would one day have good homes and enough food to eat. Or that your favorite sports team will one day beat the rival that they've had trouble beating lately. And I'm talking about Michigan, by the way. They lost both to Michigan State this year. It's too bad, isn't it, Jeff? Maybe next year. Well, if you've been walking on foot from campsite to campsite through the desert since 1979, you'd be dreaming of settling down and eating something that you grow in a garden, maybe living in a house rather than a tent, and growing things in a garden rather than collecting manna from heaven. God promised all of this to the Israelites, and they're about to go in, but first, a word of instruction. God says essentially in this book of Deuteronomy, in this 26th chapter, when you get in, when you start raising your crops, when they start to produce, you're going to want to indulge. You're going to look like Scrooge counting his money. Look at how rich I am, right? You're going to be like a kid in a city where it hasn't rained in a long time and it's hot summertime. And when someone opens up a fire hose, right, so that they can, the fire hydrant, so that the kids play around and they just bathe in the water, or it rains for the first time and they dance in the rain. This indulgence, that's what it's going to be like. But God says to wait and to remember. Before they indulge in the fruit of the crops, God says, take the first fruits of your crops, the very best, the very first, and give them to someone else, to the priests, the Levites, and the aliens or foreigners, and the widows and the orphans, the first fruits. Take a tenth, a tithe of what you make, and give it to others, and remember. So first, gather up the first and the best of what you get, the fruit of this land. And second, you shall declare that you remember. You shall declare before the Lord your God, it says in Deuteronomy 26, verse 5, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. And remember that the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer and subjected us to harsh labor. And then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice, saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And the Lord brought us to this place, we remember, and gave us this land, we remember, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of that soil before you, the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. And the instructions in Deuteronomy say to place the basket before the Lord and bow down before him. And then you and the Levites, the priestly class, and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things that the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And when you're finished setting aside 10% of the first fruit of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite and the foreigner, to the fatherless or the orphan and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Remember where it is you have come from and what it is I have done, says God. Remember. Remember 1999? A personal story. Remember that? There was Y2K on the horizon, and maybe I've shared before that I was a computer programmer and analyst and was working with the universities in Georgia to help fix the problems. And I saw the problems, and they would have been bad, but a lot of people were working on a lot of them. But nonetheless, even though we were solving them, those of us, especially in the business of that, were scared to death that we weren't going to get it all, that society was going to grind to a halt, Remember, people were thinking there were chips in the ATMs and there were problems in the bank code and you wouldn't be able to get any money and you wouldn't be able to buy any gas and your groceries wouldn't get shipped to you. You remember how all that? And I was sitting at my kitchen table one day thinking, oh my gosh, do I need to go pull out some cash and buy some wheat and somehow wheat seed and learn how to grow wheat in my backyard because all this food is going to stop and what am I going to do without my Eggo waffles? And I remember having kind of almost a panic attack and just being really anxious about that. And somehow I remember the Lord spoke in a way, it nudged my heart and said, oh yeah, Ed, I forgot. You got that job all by yourself, didn't you? Oh yeah, Ed, I forgot. You make that money all on your own, don't you? Oh yeah, Ed, I forgot. You came up with the miracle of life for your little toddler running around all over the place, didn't you? God was telling me, remember, remember, I've given you all of this. I have given you these skills to have a job. I've given you the blessing of a salary. I've given you a roof over your head. I've given you all of this. It's my giving, God was saying. You're the receiving. You think something like Y2K is going to mean that I stop caring for you? God was saying. If you want to do it, though, God was saying, you go ahead on your own. You go ahead and worry and get yourself all your own little things, and I'll just leave you be without me. If you want. I'm not going to force you, but you can do it if you want. So God was asking me to remember whose I was, who was behind any blessings I had received. God says in Deuteronomy, remember that you were an alien wanderer, your ancestors. You were a slave. You were helpless before you were before a great nation. And God led you out and provided for you along the way and provides for you now. Remember, there are people in your midst, the aliens, the orphans, the widows, for example, who still depend on God's generosity, generosity that flows through you. This is what God is saying in Deuteronomy. So take the first fruits and offer them to God to be eaten by the priests and the foreigners and the widows and the orphans before you live off the rest. Remember, long memorial, United Methodist Church has roots reaching back in time to the first quarter of the 19th century. Remember, this church was formed in 1822, is what it says in that history book that we was compiled and Doug presented and Dr. Gates presented and the trustees received. Remember, there was a 2-acre tract of land up there by where Main Street hits Carver Avenue or Carver Street up there, and that was the original Cool Spring Meeting House. It was located near Roxborough, quote, for the propagation of the gospel. Unquote. The spring near the meeting house shall be forever free for the use of the same. Remember, Long Memorial, the original vision of the folks that established this first meeting house in Roxborough was for the propagation of the gospel. Think about how much the world has changed since 1822. We're doing Fun Day coming up. We're trying to pay off the debt on an elevator. An elevator is a machine that didn't exist in 1822. Let alone did they ever imagine that they'd have one. Life has changed a lot, but remember where we came from and why we're here. That history lesson continues to say that, in 1854, there was another deed that was recorded conveying the site of this present church property. There were people with last names Satterfield and Reed and Webb and Wright and Bowles and Jordan and Jones and Williams and Drumwright. And for $95, they bought this little tract of land. The Cool Springs Church was so deteriorated at the time it couldn't be used, so the congregation met in either the male academy or the old courthouse. No authentic record can be found, but in 1894, there's an insurance map of Roxborough that describes this place as a small one-room frame building that was painted. And Sunday school and Wednesday evening prayer services were held weekly with worship service only once or twice monthly. Remember, that's where we came from. They didn't have church every Sunday because there was a circuit rider that would ride around and could only make it up to Roxborough once or twice a month. Well, I didn't say that right. Remember that the church was the church all the time, and sometimes the church would worship when the circuit rider would come through. Remember, in 1879, the first Women's Missionary Society was established right here. For many years, it remained the only society on the circuit. Remember that that this was one of the larger churches on the circuit of churches. The property was valued at $2,000. And there was this excerpt from our history book from the district records that shows in other churches in the district, some few, they drink intoxicating liquors and some dance, but there is none of this in the Roxborough Church. Remember, you were the pillar of moral light a long time ago. Remember, right about the time that I had that panic attack with Y2K in my own life, we'd started going back to church. It was the church on the square, a bigger town version of Long Memorial. That church had a judge in attendance also. But the governor of Georgia married into a family that worshiped there. So the governor, Roy Barnes, was often in attendance at that church. My wife and I, went to church looking for some order, looking for someone to please tell us how to raise our kids. Some sweet preschool teachers like the ones that are in our preschool here. We were desperate for that. I'll never forget the very first Sunday that we went. There was a visiting preacher from a Christian financial management company. The preacher said, essentially, this was the first time that we set foot and stood and sat in those pews. The preacher said, essentially, your money is not your money. It's God's money. It's a gift to you. You are entrusted with it. God gave it to you. You have skills, to be sure. God gave you those skills as a gift. So how will you use this money that God has given you? To glorify yourself, to hoard it and keep as much as you can, or to glorify God through tithes and offerings? And I don't know about you. I was cut to the heart. Someone was telling me that my life had purpose. And I remember that the human spirit hasn't really changed much since the days of Moses. I was so enamored in my corporate job with the worldly success and trappings. It was a great job, a nice house. I had a kid who hung the moon. I had a full pantry. But when I went to worship, I was reminded of the stories I'd heard as a child that God delivered God's people. God blessed God's people. God saved God's people. God provided for God's people. The world was not mine. It was God's, and it is God's. The church was not just the place that I went to as a kid. It was this global body of believers. The church was somehow entrusted to my care as a participant, as a servant, and God wanted me to play the part of a steward. Sure, I had a job. I was a manager, a director, a supervisor, but God had given me those roles so that I could learn to use them for the good of God's people, to feed the orphan and the widow and the alien, to help others find purpose for their lives, to offer God's blessings back. Remember God's generous heart, for Deuteronomy says, He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and now I bring the first fruits of that soil to you, Lord, that you have given me. And placing the basket before the Lord your God, bowing down before him, then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord has given to you and your household. And when you're finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it away to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. That is a very big part of why we are a church. So remember God's generous heart, the heart that has blessed you and wants to bless you. God's generous heart that has given you the gifts you have, gifts that can be used to build others up. Some of those others are gathered around us today. Some of those others are out there, outside these walls, people we haven't met yet. In 1822, there were a lot of names. I read them before. But there weren't very many Brands or Whites or Burnetts or Humphreys or Galloways. There definitely wasn't a pre-staff at Long Memorial. And yet, here we are. I wonder what strange names will come along next for the propagation of the gospel. Remember, they aren't here yet, neither were we. It was someone else's generosity and commitment and involvement and leadership and servanthood inspired by God that welcomed us to this place. Now there's someone else who needs it. The folks who built this sanctuary are gone. Now it's up to us to continue the blessing, the propagation of the gospel, the stewarding of all that God has first given to us. Remember, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We do remember. We remember the people that we are caring for. We remember our very own choir member who's recovering from a little procedure. So you're going to just sing that right back into healing day by day, right? We remember Harvey Ellis and Jim Owen and Gordon Carver. We remember Tom Hill Clayton and Gail Fitzgerald, who I believe got stitches out yesterday, so she continues to recover. We remember Pauline Gentry and Peggy Jones and Jean. We remember Mary Lib Winstead and Mary Winder Holman. We remember Jean Wilson and Panthea Daniel, Janet Bollock, Jimmy and Ann Street, Jackie Blanks, Simmons Patrick, Elizabeth Sabiston, Mary Kelsey Wren. We also remember the names that were shared this morning with our ushers, and they passed on to me. Freddie Blankenship, Carolyn Fashee, Hanky McFadden, Catherine Mundy, who is Jamie's sister, who's at home in Cary. We remember Ann Hughes and Tim Horton. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We remember Hunt and Lynn as they take care of our kids and Children's Church and all of those kids. May God continue to write on their hearts. We remember the 100-plus kids of preschool. We remember our youth who will meet tonight and meet so often, who will be bringing Youth Sunday to us next Sunday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We remember those who are hungry. We remember those throughout our world who live in the shadow of violence and fear domestically from those that they know. We pray that the violence would stop and that you would raise up protectors and people of peace and that you would cause those with angry and violent hearts to repent and stop their harm. We remember those who have been wounded and hurt in so many ways, in heart, in mind, in body. God, we pray for your healing. We remember those whose countries are torn apart by war and protest and discord. We pray for your peace to break free. God, we remember one another, those who sit on these pews today. We pray for one another earnestly, desiring only good and the good that can only come from you. And it's into your hands that we have commended all for whom we have prayed, trusting that you have placed those prayers on our hearts in the first place. Hear us now, O God, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.